this room, let's press in and worship him, amen?
We fragrance of heaven. Pour your spirit out. Pour your spirit out. A holy anointing. The power of your presence. So pour your spirit out. Pour your spirit out. Pour your spirit out.
Thank you. 4 declares this: one thing I ask of the Lord, and this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Lord, that's what we are doing here this morning, gazing on his face.
Hey everyone, we are so glad you're joining us. Whether you're with us online or in person, here are a few things you need to know. There are a lot of great things happening at Harvest Time. Here are a few ways you can get involved right now. To check out all things that are going on, scan the QR code or visit hdchurch.com.
If you'd like to give, you can visit us at hdchurch.com. Click on Give at the top of the page or use the Realm Connect app to set up reoccurring giving or give at any time using the Harvest Time offering envelopes.
We have so many opportunities to believe, belong, and be light. For more information on all things Harvest Time, meet us at the Connect desk. We love you, Harvest Time, and have an amazing week. Bye.
Good morning, everybody. God bless you. Welcome to Harvest Time. Great to be together in the Lord's presence. Didn't the worship team do an awesome job leading us to the throne of the Lord today? The Lord's presence is so rich in our midst. Want to welcome you. We also want to welcome everybody who's worshiping with us online today. We're so glad that you're joining with us as well. In just a few moments, the ushers are going to be coming to wait on us for our giving. And we want to say that we so appreciate all of your loving financial support of Harvest Time Church. Thank you for your faithfulness in bringing the Lord's tithe. We so appreciate also your giving to the work of missions and your gifts for our building fund. Do you know that God encourages us in his word to give and to sow into his kingdom? The Apostle Paul says that God is able to make every grace overflow to us so that in every way, always having everything we need, we may excel in every good work. Amen. What a great word that is. Amen. God wants to use us as his partners in the work of spreading his kingdom. Your program has an offering envelope in it, and you can use that envelope to give in a few different ways this morning. You can give by check made payable to Harvest Time Church. You can also give by debit card or by credit card. And if you're giving that way, please remember to supply us with that 3-digit code on the back, and that'll help our bookkeeper to process everything. If you're giving cash this morning and you'd like to receive credit for your gifts, please make sure that we have your information so we can get you the credit that you need. Giving online is also safe and easy, and it's available to you at any time. Just give through our Realm app or through our website at htchurch.com. When you visit our website, there's a giving link right on the top of the homepage, and you can use that link to make a one-time gift or to set up regular automatic giving. Lots of people are giving that way now because it's so easy to do that. You can also give by text, and information on how to give that way is going to be on your screens. If you have little ones with you this morning and you're concerned that they may not be able to sit all the way through the service, we do have great nursery care available for your infants and your toddlers in all of our services. In our 9 o'clock service, we have great kids ministry from birth all the way to age 4. And in this service, there's ministry for our kids and our teens that runs from birth all the way through the 12th grade. A couple of quick things for you. When our friend Pastor Judy Mensch was here sharing the word with us a couple of weeks ago, some of you ordered books from her on that day. I want to let you know that those books have come in and you can get your copy today out in the lobby. I think she may have a few extra books available in case anyone would like to check that out after the service. This is our last week of life groups for the spring semester. After this week, our kids ministries are going to be taking several Wednesdays off as we're getting ready for vacation Bible school. And all God's children say, woohoo! So we have some fun things coming up for you, though, in the month of July after VBS as well, so stay tuned. This Friday, our next Fire in the Night service is coming up. Join us starting at 6 p.m., and we're going to be together in worship and prayer until 10 o'clock Friday evening. That's a great time in the Lord's presence. You don't want to miss it. You can come for the whole thing or just come for as much of it as you can. Don't miss the opportunity to have an extended time in the presence of the Lord. Vacation Bible School is kicking off just 3 weeks from today. Can you believe it? Make sure you sign up your kids. Get in on the fun. VBS is open to everybody from age 4 to the 6th grade. And we're kicking off on the 26th. We still do need some adult volunteers, so you can use the QR code that's in your program today. Let us know how you'd like to help and register your kids. You can also sign up out in the lobby after the service. Going to invite the ushers to come and prepare to wait on us now. Let's ask the Lord to bless our giving. If you have your gifts with you today, maybe you want to lift that envelope up to the Lord, and let's invite the Lord's blessing upon us and upon our gifts. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the beautiful name of Jesus this morning, and we confess that you are our good shepherd. So, Lord, we know that there is nothing that we will lack. Your word tells us that you open your hand and you graciously satisfy the needs of every living thing that you've made. Father, we thank you today that we have the privilege of sowing into your kingdom. And with glad hearts, we're coming before you now, bearing our tithes, our missions giving, our building fund giving. Father, we ask that you would take these gifts and multiply them now. Would you meet the needs of this, your house, and help us to spread the good news of Jesus all across our region and all over the world. Father, pour out your blessing upon your faithful people this week, we pray. If you agree with that, would you say amen and amen. God bless you as you give today.
Just one word, you calm the storm that surrounds me. Just one word, the darkness has to retreat. Oh, just one touch, I feel the presence of heaven. Just one touch, my eyes were open to see. My heart can't help but believe. There's nothing that our God can't do. There's not a mountain that he can't move. Oh, praise the name.
God bless you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Harvest Time Church. So glad that you came to worship the Lord with us today. If you have your Bible or your Bible app, turn with us to the book of Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about church, wind, and fire. Acts chapter 2. I'm going to start reading in verse 1. While you find your way there, I want to welcome all of our college students who are home for the summer. We're so glad that you're back again. Our daughter, Maddie, is arriving home tomorrow. She's been in Uganda for a month with a missions team from Oral Roberts University, and she had some amazing experiences caring for orphans, helping people. She helped deliver a baby. Elizabeth, after she helped deliver a baby, she said, I don't think I want to have children, but she comes home tomorrow. So for all of our college students and our young adults, our HT crew, which is our college group, and our young adult dinner party, this Tuesday evening, we are meeting here at the church, 7 o'clock, out on the patio. We're having a barbecue, and then we're just having games on the lawn and a great night of fellowship and a fun time. So if you're one of our college students or one of our young adults, we want to invite you to be with us this Tuesday evening out on the patio right outside the sanctuary doors, and it's going to be a great time. Now, if you have to ask yourself if you're a young adult, you're probably not a young adult, all right? And we'll catch you another time. I'm not a young adult, but I get to go because I'm the host, so that's how that works. But we'd love to see you. We'd love to see you then. Acts chapter 2, going to start reading in verse 1. The Bible says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest upon each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own native language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't these all who are speaking Galileans? How is it then that each of us hears our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and Gentile converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Let's talk for a few minutes about church, wind, and fire. So, a pastor's wife came home from shopping one afternoon with a new $300 dress. When she showed it to the pastor, he said, "Honey, I told you, money is very tight right now. What happened?" She said, I know, honey, but the devil made me do it. I thought I would just try on the dress, but when I did, a little voice whispered in my ear, "You look great in that dress." The pastor said, "Honey, I've told you before what to do in those situations. You have to say, 'Get thee behind me, Satan.'" She said, "Honey, I tried that, but then the little voice said to me, 'It looks great from the back, too.'" Today is Pentecost Sunday. So let's talk about what happens when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. First of all, what is Pentecost? You know, the Bible says that everything God does, He does well. Everything God does is carefully calculated and orchestrated for maximum impact. Everything God does is thoughtfully planned out. It's prepared for. It's skillfully executed. Everything that happened in the New Testament was predicted in the Old Testament. There were explicit prophecies and there were events that were foreshadows. St. Luke writes that when the sun was fully up on the morning of Pentecost, suddenly there was the sound of a mighty tornadic wind. For the 120 believers in Jesus gathered in the upper room, it happened suddenly, but it wasn't sudden to God. Before God ever created the universe, he conceived of this day and he planned it to occur on that particular morning. Pentecost is one of three Jewish feasts during the year in which spiritual pilgrims are encouraged to travel to Jerusalem. The other two pilgrim feasts are Passover and Tabernacles. The Jewish people called Pentecost the Feast of Weeks. In Hebrew, the word Shavuot means weeks. It took place 7 weeks after the Passover, so it was a week of weeks, if you will. Pentecost is the Greek name for the Feast of Weeks. Penta means 50, because the feast started on the morning of the 50th day after the Passover. It was a celebration of the harvest season. Interestingly, Pentecost drew the biggest crowd from afar of all of the pilgrim feasts because the weather was the best that time of year for traveling. It was like summer vacation, summer holiday, if you will. So I want you to think about this for a minute. God was very strategic sending the Holy Spirit to the church on the day of Pentecost. It was a day that was symbolically important and it was practically significant. The 120 who received the Spirit and then the 3,000 converts who believed on Jesus later that day marked that the harvest season is now in full swing in God's world. This is harvest time, as Jesus said in John chapter 4. And God did this on the one day when there was more visitors from afar in Jerusalem than any other day of the calendar year. For 10 days, a group of 120 believers in Jesus were gathered together in the same upper room where Jesus celebrated the Last Supper. Suddenly, in the streets of Jerusalem, there was the sound of a tornadic wind. Whenever tornado survivors are interviewed, they always say the same thing. They said it sounded like a freight train was coming, a locomotive was coming through. I believe that that's what the people in Jerusalem heard that morning. Why the noisy wind? What's the significance of the noisy wind? It was a supernatural sign that God was doing something new in his world by unleashing the Holy Spirit. The Hebrew word for Holy Spirit means wind or breath. To the Jewish people, wind was a symbol of God's resuscitating, renewing, rejuvenating, recreating work. Do you remember in Genesis 1:1, the spirit wind of God hovered over the face of the deep, and then creation began. God gave Ezekiel a prophetic vision of a valley of dry bones. God told Ezekiel, prophesy to the breath. Come, breath from the four winds and breathe into these dead that they may live. Then God told Ezekiel in Ezekiel 37:14, tell my people I will put my spirit in you and you will live. Remember Jesus talking to Nicodemus in John 3, used the wind as a metaphor for the renewing, recreating work of the Spirit that results in our being born again. So listen, according to the tradition of the rabbis, on the morning of Pentecost in the temple, they were reading aloud from Ezekiel chapter 1. This is what it says. And I looked, and behold, a windstorm came from the north, an immense cloud flashing with fire, surrounded by a great light. The center of the fire looked like glowing metal. So while they were reading these words in the temple and in the upper room, suddenly in the streets of Jerusalem, there was a mighty windstorm. It was God's way of signaling that the Holy Spirit had been released into the world in a powerful new way. 2,000 years later, it's still true. When we experience the infilling of the Holy Spirit, God does something new inside of us. And then he does something new through us. Let's talk about it. What happens when we're filled with the Holy Spirit? Few thoughts for you. On your way in, you received a program. In your program, there's an outline of today's sermon. If you like, you can listen, watch the screens, fill in the blanks, follow along. For those of you worshiping with us at home today, welcome. And you can find a copy of the sermon outline in the chat section of the live stream. Just click on the PDF link and you can have that. What happens when we're filled with the Holy Spirit? A few thoughts. Number one, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we experience new intimacy with God. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we experience new intimacy with God. On the day of Pentecost, along with the sound of wind, God sent the sign of supernatural fire. In the Old Testament, fire signified that God was present. God was immediately there. The Bible calls God a consuming fire. Abraham saw God as a fire passing through the pieces of the covenant sacrifice. Moses saw God in a burning bush. God descended on Mount Sinai to give the law in a fiery cloud. Holy fire fell from heaven and burned on the altar of the tabernacle and the temple. God stood in the midst of the camp of Israel in the wilderness in a pillar of fire. On Mount Carmel, God humiliated the prophets of Baal by sending fire from heaven. John the Baptist foretold that Jesus would baptize his disciples with the Holy Spirit and with fire. But listen. Something new happened in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. At Mount Sinai, everybody saw one cloud of fire, but no one was allowed to approach it. No one was allowed to touch it. In fact, 3,000 people died at Mount Sinai because they worshiped a golden calf while the fire of God was on top of the mountain. But listen, in the upper room, the fire appeared and it divided and it touched every one of them. And when the fire touched them, they were filled with the presence of God. What was new at Pentecost? Every individual had his or her own personal encounter with the awesome, beautiful, overwhelming, glorious, fiery presence of God. Have you ever been burned? How many of you ever burned yourself on the stove or on a fire? It's hard to stay cool, calm, and collected when you're burning. Listen, I love this. At Mount Sinai, everyone but Moses was a spectator. But in the upper room, every person was a participant in God's presence. One of the purposes of being filled with the Holy Spirit is to experience intimacy with God, to be filled with his presence. God isn't just someone I believe in with my head. God is someone that I feel in my chest. Before he returned to the Father, Jesus talked about it. He said the Holy Spirit inside of us is a comforting presence. Jesus promised that we wouldn't be overwhelmed by feelings of rejection or abandonment or insecurity or anxiety. Has anybody noticed out there that there is just a plague of anxiety that's going on in our culture? People are overcome with anxiety. But I want to tell you that God's antidote to anxiety is the comforting presence of the Holy Spirit inside of us. Listen, I just feel to say to somebody listening, you need to stop speaking anxiety over yourself. You need to stop confessing that. You need to stop. That might be how you feel, but that's not your inheritance as a believer in Jesus. You have the comforting presence of the Holy Spirit inside of you. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit inside of us is a relationship fortifying presence. He promised that we'll have an inner assurance that God is with us, that we belong to Him, that He belongs to us, that we're loved by God. It's the spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father, dear Daddy. The Holy Spirit makes us fulfilled and satisfied. Bono still hasn't found what he's looking for, but I found it when I received the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit inside of us is an encouraging presence. He promised we'll receive inner strength, confidence, and abiding joy that the world can't take away from us. Jesus said the Holy Spirit inside of us is a guiding presence. He promised in every circumstance, we'll know what to do. My first experience with the Holy Spirit happened when I was 8 years old. During the charismatic renewal in the 1970s, someone invited my mom to a spirit-filled church. That morning, this first morning she went, she was born again, and she was filled with the Holy Spirit. 2 days later, my mom invited my sister and me back to that little church. It was a Tuesday night. The worship had already started when we arrived, and I remember standing at the back door. It's a little tiny place, crammed with people, bodies everywhere. You could fit a person. It was full. And I remember the thought that went through my head is, this must be what heaven sounds like because it is so joyful. Later that night on my bed, all alone, I just began praising the Lord. I began saying, thank you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. And suddenly, I was aware of the presence of the Lord in my bedroom. It felt like a warm, heavy blanket. And I remember lying there very still. I didn't want to move because it was so beautiful. I was afraid if I moved, it would leave me, and I didn't want it to go. And I began to worship God in a language that I had never learned nor heard before. There was no sound of tornadic wind. There was no fire that rested on my head. But I testify to you that the presence of God came to me that night, and He has been with me every day of my life since then. That was 47 years ago, and I have felt God with me every day. What happens when we're filled with the Holy Spirit? Intimacy with God. Here's another thought. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we experience a change of heart. Another purpose of being filled with the Holy Spirit is a radical transformation of our inner person, our inner nature, our inner character. Beloved, can I tell you, only God can change the inner nature of a man or a woman. God can take character that is malformed, and God can take a nature that is not nice, and only God can transform that into something beautiful and pure and holy and good. By the time of Jesus, the Feast of Pentecost had become a celebration of the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. According to the tradition of the rabbis, Moses received the law on the day of Pentecost. You remember when God delivered Israel from Egypt, it was Passover, the first Passover, and then 50 days later, they arrived at Mount Sinai. And so the rabbis believed that it was on Pentecost that Moses received the law. When Israel received the law, they entered into a covenant with God. But on the very same day God gave them the law, they broke the law. While the finger of God was still writing on tablets, "Thou shalt have no other God before me," the children of Israel were making a golden calf at the foot of the mountain. Through the prophets Ezekiel and Jeremiah, God said, "I will make a new covenant." Listen, this is what he says, "I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. I will put the fear of me in their hearts. They won't turn away from me. I'll remove their heart of stone and I'll replace it with a heart of flesh." Listen to what God says. "I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my laws." 7 weeks earlier, before Pentecost, in the same upper room, Jesus, during the Last Supper, said that his blood of sacrifice on the cross was the grounds, was the basis of the new covenant. Now, on the day of Pentecost, when the Jewish people were celebrating the inauguration of the old covenant, God sent the Holy Spirit and he inaugurated the new covenant. Being spirit-filled gives us a new disposition towards God's law. One messianic rabbi points out that Luke says the 120 believers were sitting in the upper room when the Spirit came. The Jewish people stood to worship and to pray. They sat down to study the scripture. So it's very likely that they were reading these words from Ezekiel 1, that they were reading from the Torah at the moment that God sent the Holy Spirit. And when he sent the Spirit, it changed their relationship with the law. Rather than trying in our own strength to obey God, now we're naturally inclined to obey him. Jesus said, "If you love me, you keep my commandments." St. John wrote, "This is love for God, that we keep his commands, and his commands aren't burdensome." Obeying him isn't a duty. It's not drudgery. The Holy Spirit inside of us makes us want to do what's right, and he gives us the strength to do it. I've learned in life, yeah, that's good right there. I've learned in life that it's one thing to want to do what's right. It's quite another thing to have the strength to do it. And the Holy Spirit gives us both. Beloved, I want to tell you, it's alarming when people who consider themselves to be believers support things that God's word calls sin. It's alarming when people who call themselves believers contend for freedom to commit sin, when they condone sin, when they consent to sin. They need an experience with the Holy Spirit. We're not under the letter of the law, but the Holy Spirit helps us to live in a way that fulfills the beautiful righteousness of the law. Our conduct honors the spirit of the law, reverencing God and loving our fellow mankind. Listen, I like this. On Mount Sinai, Israel received teaching on tablets. The word Torah means teaching. They received the teaching, but in the upper room on Pentecost, the church received the teacher. How many of you know it's better to have the teacher than the teaching? Being filled with the Spirit. You doing all right this morning? All right, I'm almost past the technical stuff. Being filled with the Spirit also gives us a new love for others, starting with our fellow believers. On Mount Sinai, a mixed multitude became a nation, the nation of Israel. On Pentecost, a mixed multitude became the church of Jesus Christ. This is the 2011th birthday of the church, if you're keeping score. The Holy Spirit broke down barriers. He brought people together from all different countries of the world, from all different cultures and skin colors and languages, and the Holy Spirit is still doing that today in his church. That's one of the things that I love about Harvest Time. God has gathered us together literally from all around the world, from all different walks of life, and he's made us one family in Jesus. Frequently, people who are new to Harvest Time tell me, Pastor, when I looked around and I saw how God has brought so many people together from such diverse backgrounds, they said, I knew this is what heaven must be like. What happens when we're filled with the Holy Spirit? Intimacy with God, a change of heart. One more thought on Pentecost Sunday. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we are equipped for a new mission. We're equipped for a new mission. It's not a coincidence that God poured out the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Pentecost celebrated the arrival of the wheat harvest. Jesus called this era in which we live the season of global harvest. It's harvest time all around the world. People are ripe and ready to respond to the message of Jesus. Somebody, listen to me, the people where you live, the people in your neighborhood, people in your family, the people that you work with, people in your circle of friends, they are ripe and ready to hear the news of Jesus and to respond to it. It's harvest time. There are many tools that the Holy Spirit gives us for the harvest, but I want to talk about just two and we're done, just two. First of all, the Holy Spirit equips us to reach people with divinely inspired speech. He equips us to reach people with divinely inspired speech. When Moses met God on Mount Sinai, there was a fiery cloud and there was a sound. In our English Bible, it says the sound of thunder, but in Hebrew, it says there was the sound of voices. There was fire and the sound of voices. During Jesus' ministry, a voice spoke from heaven. Some people distinguished it as a voice, and others thought it was thunder. On Pentecost, a crowd was drawn first by the sound of tornadic wind and then by the sound of voices. The believers began to speak in languages that they had never learned nor heard before. One of the resources that the Holy Spirit gives us for the mission is tongues, the ability to speak in unknown languages. I first experienced that the night that I received the Holy Spirit. Many of us here at HTC have received that gift as well, and St. Paul talks about the many benefits of the gift. But on the day of Pentecost, God had a very specific purpose for the tongues. The crowd of spectators heard Galileans praising God in their various native languages. Luke lists at least 15 different languages: Arabic, Chaldean, Farsi, Dari, Turkish, Circassian, Masri, Kurdish, Latin. Now listen, this is interesting. Stay with me for one more minute. Listen. Greek was the language of business all across the Roman Empire, a lot like English is a global language for business today. Even though most of the apostles came from rural Galilee, they were business owners and professionals. They all spoke Greek. They could have praised God in Greek, and everyone listening would have understood because they all spoke it. But God chose to do something different. He chose to speak to the various listeners in the native language of their childhood home. God chose to speak to the listeners in their heart language. You see, there's something about communicating in our native language that puts us at ease and opens our heart. One of my closest brothers in the Lord is John Trotz, who pastors in Warsaw, Poland. We spent a year studying together at seminary. We were roommates and best of friends. John's first language that he learned in his home is Ukrainian. And then when he went to school, grade school in Poland, he had to learn Polish. And then because Poland was under the Soviet Union in those days, in junior high and high school, he had to learn Russian. And then he got a PhD in philosophy, so he had to learn German and French. Since the outset of Russia's war with Ukraine, John has been on the border continuously serving as a translator for the refugees that are pouring across into Poland. Since he speaks Ukrainian and Polish and Russian and English, he's able to help them. We've been sending funds to help him in his work. But English was still new to John when he came to seminary in the United States. And we'd ride along in the car together, and he would practice certain English words over and over again. In Polish and Russian, Ukrainian, they don't have the TH sound with an S on the end of it. And so that was a little bit of a challenge for him. And so we'd be driving along, I'd be driving, John would be in the passenger seat, and he'd be saying, "Moms." Months. And then it bothered him every time we went into a restaurant and he ordered a Coke and the waitress would look and, you know, what did you, and so he'd say months and Coke, months and Coke. I was tempted to make fun of him, but he could insult me in five different languages and I wouldn't even understand what he was saying. One day John said to me, he said, "I would give anything right now to just have a conversation with someone in Polish, just to talk to somebody without having to think so hard about every word I say." One of the ways that the Holy Spirit equips us for the mission is to divinely enable us to speak people's heart language. The Holy Spirit anoints us to speak prophetically in a way that puts people at ease and opens their hearts. He guides our choice of words so that they have maximum impact on the listeners. We don't even realize it, but under the inspiration of the Spirit, we're speaking directly to people's situations, sometimes even saying things back to them that they prayed to God in the privacy of their prayer closet in the most secret place in their heart. Almost every Sunday, people say to me, "Pastor Glenn, that word was just for me." And the various people that approach me couldn't be more different from each other. Different backgrounds, different stages of life, different challenges, different needs. And I know it has absolutely nothing to do with me. It's the work of the Holy Spirit speaking very personally to each individual in the room. Here's an awesome thought on Pentecost Sunday. I love this. The Holy Spirit speaks the heart language of every single person on the planet. Isn't that awesome? And when we pray privately in tongues, God prepares us to be used to speak people's heart language. Praying in tongues, it prepares our minds, it prepares our mouth to be God's instruments in conversations with people. The Holy Spirit also equips us with overflowing joy. This is my last thought, and we're done. The infilling of the Holy Spirit is a joyful experience. For the onlookers in Jerusalem, the believers appeared to be drunk. How many of you know when people are drunk, they're having fun? They were laughing, they were singing loudly, they were talking loudly. St. Paul makes that same comparison between drunkenness and being under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine that leads to a lot of trouble. Instead, be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for everything. How many of you know Spirit-filled people are happy people? Some days we need to send our face the memo. You're happy. You're filled with the Spirit. When I was a kid, our whole family used to get together on the holidays. And as the day wore on, the liquor would start to flow. And sooner or later, my crazy old Uncle Frank would break out his accordion and everyone would start to sing, "Roll out the barrel and we'll have a barrel of fun." That was the atmosphere that overflowed out of the upper room. Look at the content of their speech. It was joyful praise. The spectator said, in our own native language, in our own heart language, they're saying how wonderful God is and the wonderful things that he's done. When you're filled with Holy Spirit, your mouth overflows with joyful praise too, and you can't stop talking about how wonderful God is and the wonderful things that he has done. And what's the fruit of joyful praise? I'm going to give you this. I'm done. What's the fruit of joyful praise? Joyful praise draws people. It opens their hearts to receive. Joyful praise convicts people and it convinces them. Listen. At the end of the day on Mount Sinai, 3,000 people died. But at the end of the day on Pentecost, 3,000 people were deeply convicted and asked Peter, what must we do to be saved? The prophecy of Zechariah 12 verse 10 was fulfilled, and I will pour out on the house of David and on those in Jerusalem a spirit of grace and prayer, and they will look on me, the one that they've pierced. 3,000 people repented of their sins and were baptized in water as believers in Jesus and received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the global harvest began. And hear me, it is still harvest time today. What happens when we're filled with the Spirit? We have an experience of intimacy with God. We have a change of heart, and we're equipped for the mission. Would you stand on your feet and give Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, a great big praise in this place today? Oh, come on, let's give him a good praise this morning. He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. Lift up your faces, lift up your voices, lift up your hands. Come on, let's worship him.
Fragrance of heaven, pour your spirit out, pour your spirit out. A holy anointing, the power of your presence, pour your spirit out, pour your spirit out. We need a fresh wind. The fragrance of heaven, pour your spirit out, pour your spirit out. A holy anointing, the power of your presence, pour your spirit out, pour your spirit out. Sigh and sing. We can hear the wind blowing, blowing, blowing. Move upon our praise. Sons and daughters sing. We can hear the wind blowing, blowing, blowing. Let all the redeemed prophesy.
Give the Lord a good praise, would you, this morning? God bless you. Twenty years after the day of Pentecost, St. Paul arrived in the Greek city of Ephesus. And he found some disciples there, and he asked them this question. He said, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" The believers there had never heard of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul explained to them what it was, and then he laid his hands and he prayed upon them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they received the gift of supernatural language and overflowing joy. I want to ask you the same question today. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And if you're not sure, would you like to? Because we can ask the Father today. Just before we go, I'm going to invite three different groups of people to come to the altar in just one moment. The first group of people that I'm going to invite to come to the altar are those that you're not sure if you've ever been filled with the Holy Spirit. You're not sure if you've ever had that encounter with His fiery presence that lets you know that God is with you. You've never received the gift of a heavenly language, and you'd like to invite the Holy Spirit today. You'd like to ask the Father to fill you. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to come and stand just one moment right here in the center, right in front of me. Second group of people I'm going to invite are those that maybe you've had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've had an experience and you prayed in tongues a little bit. Maybe you prayed some syllables or a few words, but it wasn't an experience that remained with you. And, you know, you need the Lord to just kind of open the tap, open the faucet all the way. And you'd like to just really have a release. You've had an experience, but you'd like to the Lord to really just release the fullness of that in you. I'm going to invite you to come in just a moment and stand on this side of the altar. That's my left and your right over here. And the last group of folks are just folks who perhaps would like a fresh touch from the Holy Spirit today. You know, St. Paul wrote, "Be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit." Being filled with the Spirit isn't a one-time experience. It's an everyday experience. In fact, Paul said that God has hidden His treasure, the Holy Spirit, in earthen vessels, in clay vessels. How many of you ever filled a clay vessel with water? It leaks. The water seeps through and we leak a little bit. And so we need fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. And if that's you, I want to invite you in just a moment to come stand on this side of the altar, over here to my right and your left. If you've not received, if you're not sure you've ever received the gift of the Spirit, been filled with the Spirit, if you've never spoken in tongues and you'd like to ask the Father for that today, I want you to stand in the center. If you've had a little brush with the Lord and you really want a full release on this side, and if you just want a fresh touch from heaven this morning, we're going to invite you on this side. I'm going to ask our pastors to come, all of our pastors, any of our deacons, any of our prayer teams who are trained to minister to people, would you come? And I need you to just stretch right out across the front, if you would, please. Renee Drummond, would you come and pray with us? And any of our deacons, prayer folks, just come all the way right across the front here. And we're going to invite you, if you'd like to just receive the Holy Spirit or a fresh touch from the Holy Spirit, come and stand in one of these three places while we sing. Come on, we need a fresh wind. Would you come?
We need a fresh wind, the fragrance of heaven.
Pour your Spirit out, pour your Spirit out.
Fresh.
We need a fresh wind, the fragrance of heaven.
Pour your Spirit out, pour your Spirit out. A holy anointing,
the power of your presence.
Pour your Spirit out, pour your Spirit.
Spirit out. All right, those that have come to the altar, and everybody, just look at me for one moment. We're going to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and here's how we receive it. It's as easy as A, B, C. All right? A stands for ask. Jesus said, if your earthly fathers, being a little imperfect, know how to give good gifts to their children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the gift of the Holy Spirit when you ask him? So in just one moment, all together, we're going to ask the Father to fill us to overflowing with the Holy Spirit today. All right, that's A, ask. Second, B, believe. Jesus said, whoever believes on me out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And by this, Jesus meant the Holy Spirit. And so I want you to believe that this is a good gift that your Father wants to give you even more than you want to receive it. Can I tell you, when you're a parent, for those of moms and dads, you know when you've got a good gift for your kids for Christmas or for their birthday, when you got them something they really want or something you just know they're going to love, like you can't wait. Christmas is more exciting for parents than it is for the little kids. Like you can't wait for Christmas morning to see your kid's face when they receive that gift. I want you to believe that God wants to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit even more than you want to receive it. Everybody look at me. God doesn't give you the gift of the Spirit because you've been good. He gives you the gift of the Spirit because he is good. The only requirement is that you're empty. That's the only prerequisite. And so we're going to ask the Father to give us the Holy Spirit. We're going to believe that he wants to fill us to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. And then here comes the challenge. C is confess. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, open your mouth and I will fill it. There comes a moment when it comes to speaking in a heavenly language, a heavenly tongue. There comes a moment of faith when we have to meet God. So Peter, in order for Peter to walk on the water, he had to swing his leg over the bow of the boat, and he had to let his foot touch the surface of the water. And there's a moment when we're receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit that we have to open our mouth and God is going to fill it with a new language. So in just one moment, we're going to just begin worshiping Jesus together. We're going to invite you to start worshiping him in your language. You can speak English, or if your heart language is Portuguese, or if it's Spanish, or if it's another language that you learned, just begin worshiping God in whatever language, heart language that you want to. And then we're going to lay hands and pray on you. We're going to ask you to take a step of faith and open your mouth and just trust God that he's going to begin to fill it with a new heavenly language. All right, let's do that together. Everybody who's come to the altar, would you just take a step forward? Everybody take one step forward, if you would, please. That'll give us some room to minister. I want you to just lift up your hands if you're willing. This is a Jewish posture of prayer, lifting up our hands and lifting up our face to God. Would you just begin worshiping Jesus with us right now? Come on, I want you to just use your own lyrics. Just begin worshiping him. Just be giving him glory and honor and praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We're not seeking an experience. We're seeking God's presence. We're seeking Jesus' presence. Just begin worshiping him. We love you, Jesus. We magnify you, Jesus. We honor you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, O God. We praise you, O God. We praise you. We praise you, Lord God. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your love for us, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you established the new covenant in the blood of Jesus on the cross, Lord. Thank you that you've unleashed the Holy Spirit. It's harvest time. We worship you. Now I want you to lift up your hands, if you would, and let's ask the Father to fill us, to give us the gift. If your earthly fathers, being imperfect, know how to give good gifts, how much more will your heavenly Father give the gift of the Holy Spirit? Come on, would you lift up your face, lift up your hands, and would you just say, Father, give me the gift of the Holy Spirit. Father, give me the gift of the Holy Spirit. And now let's just believe. We believe, Jesus, we believe in you. You are the Son of God. You are Lord. We believe, Lord, that you want to give us rivers of living water flowing out of us. Lord, we believe that you want to give us this good gift today, even more than we want to receive it today. And now we're going to ask you to begin to confess. We're going to come and lay hands on you and pray for you. And we're going to invite you to worship God. You can start in English or whatever your heart language is. But then we're going to ask you to begin to confess and begin to just open your mouth, and God's going to fill it with a new tongue. You might think that's just me. Well, it is you, but it's not only you. It's you and the Holy Spirit. He's enabling you. Come on, let's do it. Lift up your hands. Just begin worshiping. Prayer teams, go ahead. You can just begin laying hands and ministering on these folks right now. Go ahead and just start ministering. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Spirit of the holy anointing, the power of your presence, pour your spirit out, pour your spirit out. We need a fresh wind, the fragrance of heaven.
There's nothing left more that could ever Your presence. when you move, you make my heart bound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Calm down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart bound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving.